To Jehovah I cry, because fire has gobbled up the pleasant places of the open field, and flame has exhausted all of the trees in the country. Joel chapter 1, verse 19, our daily scripture, from the version of yours truly of 2003. For today, little children, that's our scripture. And continuing in the article, the Ark of Urartu, the Orient Express, the Ark of Urartu, which is from the name of the mountain Ararat, Urartu. Now, chapter 10, paragraph 3, we're commencing, but we've skipped, as you may have noticed, paragraph 1. We skipped it. So maybe we'll come back to it at some point, or you can just read it and catch up on your own, or have somebody help you with it, if that's not one of your options. But we just skipped over that. It was basically all about how the date 751 was derived as this sort of important date. And it was also regarding the discovery of the way to produce paper. As far as the West was concerned, it was discovered because of these two Chinese people who were captured and taught the Westerners how to make paper. But 751 was the date derived from that. Now, we just finished chapter 10, paragraph 2 yesterday, so now I want to try and read this without interruption. That's going to be the goal because it's a very long paragraph, paragraph 3, and I'm just going to try to read it and not comment on it, which is always difficult. But here we go. Abraham's birth marked a factor of 97, a centered 16 gonal, 32 gonal, number, and a four-dimensional centered cube number. Don Larson threw 97 pitches in a perfect game in 1956 CE. Abraham's 2716 years has a divine 7 and two factors of 2. For Isaac, 2817 has a 313 factor, a centered square number. Also, 666 equals 313 plus 353, two consecutive palindromic primes. Jacob's 2877 has a 7 factor and a factor of 137, which is a number that possesses a number of remarkable properties. It's the maximal number of regions into which 16 lines may divide a plane. 137 equals 128 plus 8 plus 1, the sum of three powers of two. A molecule of chlorophyll consists of 137 atoms. April 18th, 137 CE, the Palmyrian Tariff was declared. An Aramaic and Greek inscription documents this and is now housed in the Hermitage Art Museum. In 137 CE, an order was given by the Bishop of Rome to keep celebrations of Christ's birth. Regarding Joseph, 2968 has factors of 7 and 53. 53 equals 5 plus 7 plus 11 plus 13 plus 17, the sum of five consecutive prime numbers. As to Ephraim, the factor of 751, as the CE date is the start of the Carolingian dynasty with Pepin the Short, and also is the year of the Battle of Talas, serving earlier as the inspiration for a start to our chapter on ancient writing, when in 751 CE, two Chinese prisoners taught papermaking to the people of the city of Samarkand, as was related above. Moses was born 67 times 50 years after Cainan's birth. 67 is a centered 11 gonal, centered 22 gonal number. Maximally, that number of regions into which 11 lines divide a plane. Jesus died and is resurrected 32 times 50 years after the birth of Moses in 1572 BCE. 1600 years. Also 40 times 40, 64 times 25, consisting of only prime factors of 2 and 5. The number 1600 is a square, 40 times 40, and 268 go now. The number 32 equals 2 to the 5th power, 64 equals 2 to the 6th. There are 32 regions maximum into which 6 circles divide a plane, 32 crystal classes. An adult human has 32 teeth. Of 40, it is octagonal. It's spelt in alphabetical order, F-O-R-T-Y, and it is a centered 13 gonal number, a pentagonal, pyramidal number, an abundant number, and 40 is the number of equivalent hyperspheres in 5 dimensions, which can touch an equivalent hypersphere without any intersection, in brackets kiss. The number 64 is the square of a cube number, 8, and also is 12 gonal, centered triangular, centered 21 gonal, and the cube of a square number, 4. Human DNA also has 64 codons. The Exodus, 3,429 years, has a 27 factor, the cube of 3, which is decagonal, and 27 space groups are hexagonal. The primitive Greek alphabet and Hebrew have 27 letters. The largest value, a sum of the digits of its cube, is 27. The factor 127 in the Exodus is centered hexagonal, 21 gonal, 42 gonal. It is a Motzkin and a Mersenne number. Sarah, the wife of Abraham, lived for 127 years, Genesis 23 and 1. Solomon's temple, as we determined earlier, was founded in 1014 BCE and is 2 times 1954 years after Chaonan was born in 4922 BCE and Joseph's birth we determined as 1954 BCE. Also, 1954 is a 327 gonal number, and 327 is furthermore a 110 gonal number. Joseph lived remarkably 110 years. Samaria was besieged 4,200 years after the birth of Chaonan, 42 being 15 gonal, an abundant number, and Catalan number. The 18th of Josiah is 10 times 430 years after his birth. The number 43 is a centered heptagonal and centered 14 gonal number. The number of sided 7 iamans, the number of kinds of birds in Antarctica, a number of muscles used to frown. Wikipedia states that the first temple was destroyed in 587, a date 15 times 17 times 17 years after Chaonan was born. The reign of Darius is 522 BCE, which is 4,400 years after Chaonan. Ezra, in the 7th year of Artaxerxes, 458 BCE, restored the worship at the rebuilt temple and is 31 times 144 years. From Ezra to the baptism of Jesus in 26 CE is 7 plus 62 weeks of years, in brackets 458 plus 26 minus 1, equals 483, equals 69 times 7. Jesus' baptism has a 97 factor, and his death a 99 factor. There is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous ones who do not need to repent. The second temple was destroyed in 70 CE, an event 4,991 years after Chaonan's birth, factored into 7 times 23 times 31. Human sex cells have 23 chromosomes, other human cells 46. The smallest number of integer-sided boxes that may tile a box so that no two boxes share a common length is also 23. From Buddhism, there are said to be 31 planes of existence. We note the 11 factor and the 53 factor for the New World. Shelah, Peleg, Joseph, and the New World have a 53 factor. And that concludes our reading of chapter 10.3 of the article, The Ark of Urartu, The Orient Express, Part 2, Chapter 10, Paragraph 3. But we have time. We can read Paragraph 1 now. It's rather interesting, I think. This is Chapter 10, entitled Ancient Writing, which we began yesterday, but we omitted reading the first paragraph yesterday. So let's read it, shall we? In 2001 CE, the city of Samarkand, Uzbekistan, received an official designation from UNESCO, Crossroads of Cultures and official UNESCO World Heritage Site, by three criteria. More anciently, Samarkand is noted from events of 751 CE. In that year, the capture of two Chinese men at the Battle of Talas led to these teaching the Arabs of Samarkand how to produce paper, the knowledge of which spread to Europe, an event without which books could not have been possible. Hebrew, already dead as mother tongue, a spell more than 500 years starting the 2nd century CE, later became the first revived tongue of all history in 1880 CE. We see even in these times of Rome's judgment, in brackets 452 to 1453, end bracket, also called the Middle Ages, and what we considered as the Sabbath millennium, or Judgment Day of Jehovah, see the article Joseph and Ohm, that paper was heading west about 700 years before Gutenberg printed. Hebrew, having died before late classical antiquity, which era was over by the start of the Middle Ages. Classical antiquity, itself reviewing the Roman and Greek empires, spanned, say, from about 800 BCE to 500 CE. In 400 CE, Jerome wrote a Latin Bible, the Vulgate. As we begin our chapter on the topic of ancient writing, a story unique, it occurs to me, because it writes itself. I am tempted by the many possible ways of writing the story. It was among a variety of choices then that I arrived at Samarkand, a remarkable city which in the Tajik language is written C-A-M-A-P-K-A-H-D, which is actually, of course, S-A-M-A-R-K-A-N-D, but written in the Cyrillic alphabet, or in the alphabet of what was originally the Greek alphabet, but which was adapted in the area of the languages that were the Cyrillic languages, and also Bulgarian, but which perhaps is also called, I'm not sure what the designation of Cyrillic is, or of the Bulgarian languages. But, for example, Russian would be the same alphabet as this. Perhaps even Ukrainian, I think, but I'm not certain. But let's not dwell on that, and which I do choose because it takes in a middle ground, that is the city, Samarkand, a point bridging both geographically between the West and the Far East, and in time, between ancient and modern day, making what may at first appear to be a difficult subject into one with an easier stepping off point for the reader. Truly, the thought had not occurred to me at all until an examination of the mathematical relation between the birth date of the Cainan, who was forth from Adam, and some other dates had been examined, along with some more ancient ages of patriarchs, and I arrived at the discovery of the year 751 CE quite as Jehovah's solution, as I computed the math and looked it over with the natural properties of numbers. The story thus begins with Cainan, the fourth from Adam, a prophet born 4922 BCE, who died in 4012 BCE, and who wrote on stone tablets of a deluge coming to punish the ungodly. Of these tablets, no trace is yet found of a first writer. That's the end of paragraph 1. So we've read paragraph 3 and paragraph 1 of chapter 10 today. But the selection of 751 was rather arbitrary, but or quite difficult to choose it, an introduction for this chapter. It was quite difficult because there were a lot of possible things that could be talked about, I suppose, right? And it was rather arbitrary or just almost done. It was done by inspiration, I believe, because all these numbers corresponded to such an interesting, important, seemingly divine, you know, factors and things like that, and just became indicative of certain other factors like 751, which if we look at the tables now where we might have found 751, we can search for that number and see where it pops up. I think we're going to mention it here because we just read that. Here it is. As to Ephraim, a factor of 751. That's a CE date right there. The birth of Ephraim in 1918. Ephraim was born in 1918 BCE. That may be an approximate date, actually. It's based on, of course, the marriage of Joseph, which occurred after he became ruler, second in command of all Egypt in 1923 BCE. His wife was named Asenath, and Ephraim was his younger son. Manasseh was the older, but Ephraim became favored by Jehovah when he was given a blessing by Joseph's father Jacob before Jacob passed away in Egypt. And so when the birth of Ephraim is put at 1918, we get that number of the difference between 1918 and 4922, which is the birth of Cainan at the top of the table. The difference is 3004, which is 4 times 751. I'm going to try and do that in my head. It's 2800 plus 200 is 3000. Yeah, that's right. 3004. Okay. So 3004 is 4 times 751. So that number 751, I was probably searching Wikipedia under the years where you can search for a year. Any year you can look in Wikipedia and say what happened in the year such and such, and you could enter that year and do a search for that year. Through Wikipedia you can find what happened in that particular year. So it was by doing that, I think, maybe. I'm not sure how I found it, but I found out about the paper somehow associated. I somehow found out about 751 being the year when paper was discovered or passed on from China as a discovery to the West, to Europe specifically. And then from Europe, of course, paper became something that was passed to eventually North America and all of that, which was because of the discovery of the New World by Columbus in 1492 of the Common Era, which has an 11 squared factor in that number. That's remarkable, because we know 11 has these really powerful properties also. And we'd have to stop and do research on that number 11 just to find out what they all are. But it's itself a very powerful number. But 7 is, of course, divine. That's the difference. I mean, 7 is a divine number, so it's even more powerful. But 53, which was a factor of the New World also, has this remarkable property that it's the sum of all these consecutive prime numbers. you never would guess that if you never had looked at this. Is that the one? Let's see. Now I can't find it, but it was mentioned at the end of chapter 10.3. We just read, and I think it's mentioned earlier somewhere. Where is it? Let's see. Is it really true? Let's think about it. Is it the sum of the first five consecutive prime numbers? Or is it the first, or just five? 7 plus 11 plus 13. Oh, I don't think I'm going to be able to do that in my head. Probably want to do that. 5 plus 7, I'm just going to experiment. Plus 11 plus 13 plus 17. Those are consecutive prime numbers, I believe. And 53, that's what it equals, right. But they're not the first five prime numbers. The first two prime numbers are 2 and 3, I believe, unless you consider 1 as counting as a prime number. I don't think we generally do. So 2 and 3 are the first two. But these five consecutive prime numbers, remarkably, add up to 53. It's important for that number 53, because otherwise, what is 53? It in itself is a prime number, but what else is it, you know? Like, what does it mean? It was the age that I was when I first made my most important discoveries of the genealogy. I believe I was 53 years old. How old? Let's see. From my birth in 1957, what would that mean? 53, that would be 2000 and... Oh, wait a minute. It's just about the time when I started writing this article, too, wasn't it? I think so. Because 1957 plus 53, 2010. Yeah. It's basically, and if we go down to the bottom of this article, we can see what else happened. Look, we're using up the time quite handily here quickly. I didn't expect to use up the time so quickly. The reading went so fast, it seems. But once I start talking, the time really goes by. It's the same if I do research. I can just research a whole day away. It just passes in no time. And it's the same if I start writing songs or playing music or anything. The whole day just goes by like nothing. So doing anything is like that if you're enjoying, I suppose, what you're doing. But the only thing about music is I'll never do music again unless I'm sure that I can do something better than I've done in the past. You know, I'll never do anything, you know, unless it's other than for survival. You know, obviously I'll start fire to keep myself warm, or I'll buy food to keep myself from being hungry. And so I'll do things of necessity. But as far as any creative things that I do, which are more or less by choice, I won't do anything unless I can do it better than something I've done in the past. I won't be inclined to do something worse. So for me, listening to some of my greatest musical compositions or whatever they might be, whether they're, you know, of any kind of quality is irrelevant. The point is, they're my best. When I listen to my best, you know, you can't compare one artist or another one. But when I listen to my own best creations of music or anything, actually, but I'm thinking of music in this case, especially the music, I think. But when I listened to it, when I was so, you know, involved in some of these, I'm thinking of the improv jazz, to be specific. When I'm trying to listen back now, just to the best that I've done, I have to listen to it, I have to listen to it numerous times, many, many times, and I still can't learn everything that is involved in it. So if I can't get the mastery of what I did in the past, there's no way I can do anything new. So that, to me, is the thing. I'll listen to it until I either give up, or until I get the mastery of it and then go and record something better. Because there's no point in trying until I have a mastery of what I've done in the past, until I understand it well enough. But here we have the article states, the article Joseph and Owen was published in 2010. That was one of the most, and also the article Phoenix and the article Moses. That was my most prolific time of all. That year, when I was 53 years old, was my most prolific time. And then the article Joseph was modified in the same year. Specifically, the title illustration was mentioned there. But it was in my 53rd year that I wrote the article Joseph, too. So I was 52 years old and almost 53 at that time also. And that's true also of the article Green. So everything, I was either 52 or 53 years old when I was in my most prolific time, but also when I wrote my most, groundbreaking, Jehovah's most, favored, or the most blessed of my articles, I should say, probably. That was when I wrote them, at least, at the outset. They were the most blessed at the outset. And they were the ones that laid the groundwork for the, how many were there after that? 9 or something like that? This one's the 10th one in the series. And if we look, maybe we can go back and find it here. See what we can find, born and raised here. There it is, yeah. So when we go to the end of that one, there's a sequence. Just the text is a little bit large for us there. So here, we should be able to get it small enough so we can read it. References. There they are, right? So from number 10, we did 11, which is Crucible. We did the B4 article. Well, that's a good one, too. That's a really good one. We've studied the Crucible together, and we've studied now most of the Ark. We're doing the Ark article. We haven't done Moses. We haven't done Phoenix. We haven't done Owen. We haven't done Joseph or Green. And we haven't done the Uncut Tut. But we've done Crucible. We haven't done B4. We've done Trojan War and Wild Road. We haven't done the Uncut Tut, nor True, which is another one, nor... Yes, we did do... Yeah, we haven't done Preservation, but we did do Born and Raised. So we've got... Or Messiah, as it's called. That's the 18th in the sequence. And we didn't do My Story. That's another one. So if we include My Story in all of these, which is a different... It's really got more to do with my family and the study of my family history on a specific road trip that I took with my late wife, Anne. And it includes also a lot of photographs, virtually, I think every photograph that we took on that trip, it was included in that article. Every photograph, and there were a great many of dozens and dozens and dozens of photographs, digital, what was it? Well, I can't remember how many pixels. It's a 4 or 5 pixel, maybe, camera. I forget. But the reproductions, of course, are not going to be full size or anything, I don't think, in those, that would be impractical. But so let's count up the articles I've written since the Ark. Including the ones that we've studied. Okay, we've got 1, 2, well, it's from 10 through 18. So, or 11 through 18 since the Ark, which is exactly 8, plus My Story is 9. But there were quite a number written prior. If we just count from Green, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 written before Ark. And 8 after would be 13 articles altogether, other than Ark, that applied. But then there are 4 other articles that were written prior to Green that were not so chronologically, blessed or not in the genealogy, not part of the blessed genealogy, but they're still very, to me, interesting, extremely interesting to me, because they touch on so many topics that I found interesting, like King Arthur and so on, and the descent line of the Jewish people who were involved in the government at the time of Charlemagne. That was something that was often Jewish people or Jews themselves, whatever you call them. The Jewish people have been maligned and they've been hidden from in history and not recorded, so that that's in one of these articles, at least one. I'm trying to think of which one. Maybe more than one, actually, where I mention the details of that or that concept of how there are many famous Jewish people whose identities, as far as their religious affiliation, were hidden. So that's it for our study, basically. We've just got about one more minute or two. So, yeah, but there are a lot of interesting things in those articles. A lot to do with the northern people, Scandinavian people, like Harald Hildetand and Skjold, people like Valder. And in the article Smith, we get into Samothes. The origin of the name Smith was a person called Samothes. Has to do with a blacksmith also. And that's another interesting thing to me. Very important, too, because there were blacksmiths in my family, going back in the Green family, at least in Newfoundland. And it's a pretty small world when you go back into a place like that where people are just inhabiting a country like Canada for the first time, or which part of which what later became Canada, and which then was joined by Newfoundland in 1949. And then at that point, Newfoundland became part of Canada, or Canada became part of Newfoundland, as they like to say in Newfoundland. So that's it for today's study. It is December 21st, 2024 of the Common Era, and the time is 16:02 hours Canadian Eastern Time. And this is, in my behalf, Sissy, and this is Star, saying bye for now as we conclude our study of the Ark of Urartu for today, the Orient Express, Part 2, Chapter 10, Paragraphs 1 and 3. And it's the chapter 10. Right? Wait a minute. That's some other article. Right. So that's it for today. And